New England's different from the rest of the U.S. in many ways, but one of the most visible is our celebration of the individuality of each town. While some states may have giant metro areas governed as large cities or strong county government overseeing municipalities inside, we largely let towns elect their own officials and run their own affairs. That includes how towns address issues of zoning and housing. An investigation by the Connecticut Mirror and ProPublica has found a pattern of towns in Connecticut blocking the construction of privately developed duplexes and apartments, and that has led to a lack of affordable housing units, segregated neighborhoods, and neighborhoods with big disparities in income distribution. And it's a problem that's not just happening in Connecticut. Jacqueline Rabe Thomas is a reporter with the Connecticut Mirror and ProPublica's local reporting network. She's the author of Separate and Unequal, How Connecticut Keeps Its Housing Segregated. Jackie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you use the case study of Westport, Connecticut, which is located in the southwest corner of New England, Fairfield County. It's right near New York City. Maybe you can describe the town for those who don't know about it.
Sure. So Westport is this small community that has about 10,000 homes, almost entirely single family homes. And it's one of the wealthiest communities in the United States by far. And it's located along the Long Island Sound, and they have voted for Democrats solidly in the last presidential election as well as in the state elections. But they have some Republicans that also represent them. So they're sort of this perfect place to look at and explore. Is housing segregation a bipartisan issue?
So you talk about mostly single-family homes. Maybe you can describe a bit the housing mix there. Beyond that, I can imagine that it's a lot of suburban homes, but what else can you tell us about the mix of housing?
Sure. So the typical home in Westport sells for $1.2 million, which is really expensive for, you know, your moderate income individual. They have about one out of every 30 homes in that community is considered affordable, meaning that someone with limited income is able to afford to live in that community because there have either been housing subsidies for them or there have been public housing built for it, those individuals.
So there is some affordable housing in the town of Westport, but not very much. Why is there so little affordable housing available?
So there are several reasons that contribute to not having a lot of affordable housing in many towns throughout Connecticut and the region. One of those being that there have been reasons stated such as environmental concerns. You know, we don't want to take away open space, or we don't have sidewalks in that community, or we don't have the infrastructure in place. We don't have the sewers to allow. But then when you dive into the situation a little bit, you'll see, oh, the town's not allowing a sewer extension in that part of the town that the developer is willing to pay for, and or they're not allowing sidewalks to move forward, again, that the developer is willing to pay for. So there's sort of these reasons that are listed in some of the cases that I looked at. But then when you start to sort of dive into the discussion and what the developer is proposing, it's like, but wait a minute, they try to meet them in the middle and say, hey, here's a solution to that obstacle. And you'll find pretty quickly that there are pretty big obstacles to overcome. And delay, it has become a tactic in some towns. So in some communities, even if it's not necessarily for affordable housing, it's just for moderate priced housing, you know, market rate housing, maybe built within an apartment building is cheaper than having a single family home in a Westport, for example. But it still takes a while to even get approval for something like that to open. Here's a clip of Chip Stevens, who was resisting efforts and ultimately voted to deny efforts to open a multi-unit complex in Westport that was expected to sell for $1.2 million.
To me, this is ghettoizing Westport.
Let's pull apart some of what he says. When he talks about ghettoizing Westport, what exactly is he saying there?
He is saying that housing density has these connotations with it, that it is something that it messes with the character of the community. That's something that you'll sort of hear, that we want to keep our, you know, New England feel, or we want to keep our sort of the character of the community, meaning we don't want to change our sort of single family home mentality here in Westport, in that part of the community.
Explain what the state law is about towns providing affordable housing.
Sure. So state law says if there's not 10% of a community's housing stock dedicated for low-income residents, developers can go to court and challenge their proposal being denied, saying this town is in desperate need of more affordable housing. Their decision is not based on legitimate reasons for denying us.
So essentially, this allows developers to come in and say, there's clearly a need. There's a statute on the state books that says we're able to come in and challenge this and try to put this up. But what your reporting is finding is that even with this law, even with developers wanting to come into some of the communities, it's not easy.
It can take decades for a developer to fight something in court.
So let's pull apart the two things. There's the zoning laws in a town like Westport, and then there's the ways in which town officials interpret those laws or maybe delay along the way. Maybe you can help us understand that a little bit, because it's not just in the way that the zoning laws are written. It's also about the way that they're applied and the way that people perceive them.
State law says that you can deny affordable housing complex if there is a public safety issue in play. And so what will happen is developers will be asked to come up with traffic studies and then another traffic study or, you know, all these sort of things that cost money and time to have experts come up with, you know, different traffic studies. Okay, well, what if you do the exit on this side or do, you know, one unit less than what you were initially proposing? So like all these things that costs money, which is, you know, when you're not opening and you're paying taxes on the land and it costs a lot of money. So what it's doing is it's sending a message to developers that, hey, it's going to take 4 or 5 years to break ground in Westport. You know, one developer that I spoke with, it actually took him, it still hasn't been approved. He's going on 14 years now. Here's Tim Hollister. He's that attorney who he actually fought a case in the Connecticut Supreme Court to say that these restrictive zoning practices are not permissible and won. Here's him saying that this is still going on today.
Does anybody say we need to keep blacks and Hispanics out of Westport? No. But they talk about property values and preserving open space and all the things that a town can do to prevent development that would bring a more economically and racially diverse housing population.
Jacqueline Rabe Thomas is a reporter with the Connecticut Mirror and ProPublica's local reporting network. She's written her recent piece, Separate and Unequal, How Connecticut Keeps Its Housing Segregated. You can find a link to her reporting at nextnewengland.org. Jackie, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.